TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Brave New Voices, the Youth Poetry Movement. Youth Speaks is a Bay Area nonprofit with satellite workshops around the country. They are providing a safe space for high school students to put their thoughts and emotions on paper and on the stage. Places to hear the young poets are the Teen Poetry Slam, Brave New Voices, and the Bringing the Noise reading series. Every event inspires many more teens to join workshops where they learn from each other honest writing and critical thought. Since the founding of Youth Speaks in 1996, the youth poetry movement has spread to many places, Seattle, New York City, and even abroad. Four of us, including the poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, had asked to meet with members of Youth Speaks to understand this new wave of creative self-expression and the collaborative nature of their work. After just offering a single open-ended question, "What is the use of poetry?" we became witness to a dialogue among the 11 students that continued for over an hour and left us inspired and moved. Katie Turchin, Leah Mezio, and Emiliano Bourgois Chacon are now 16 years old. The poems that you will hear were written when they were even younger. Here's Emiliano. He starts with an apology.
I want to apologize to everyone here because I repeat poems. I'm sorry. No.
I do the same poem.
No disclaimers.
La madre de mi madre once told me that there was un padre who could heal me and I was growing and God would bless me. She couldn't see that inside my mind, my eyes were climbing mountains and reeling from looking at the world below, reeling from the world above, touching me with the figments of her faith and sincerity in her prayer. See, there's something that happens when Dios me bendiga, God blesses me, that I can't quite place. Maybe it's my heart kneeling confused, praying hope into thick air as if a miracle could bring my words and aspirations to the clouds when I still need a hand to get up from the ground. And resentment was never spent bent on the floor so long I tried crying to God and composing my own psalms, and there is something that happens when Dios me bendiga that I never let touch me again. And with a staff like a pen, I'm still shivering and shaking from trying to rise, pulling up on a stick that bleeds ink and leaves scars on paper for me to touch and savor as my only child, only son, little boy of memories. And I see under my padded down hair there was a churning and a deep, self-reflexive stare that for 10 years I wished to death I could run away from. And there are chapters when I break down, maybe it's hidden guilt of praying to what I don't believe in, and stronger people have to hold me and hold me. My heart finally broken, so it's open, but there's no rush of a rainbow of words, only I'm sorry, and convulsions in something that's too hot and too cold. And this is my story in English. The mother of my mother once told me that there was a father who could heal me. And when I walked through doorways on this side of my family, lips would whisper and thumbs and wrists would spin just barely with the memory of church. And they did love me in their embracive Latino way. You're growing so tall, cuantas novias tienes? And I would blush, and they would sit me down and tell me that I don't come to visit often enough. When was the last time you came to Costa Rica? Last summer. I come every summer. You mean every rainy season? Well, yes, that's true. It's raining warm tears right now because God blessed them so much. And out from the kitchen, stepping away from the telenovela, back from Haciendo Compras, both the shopping and soap operas were good, but I'm from Los Estados Unidos, so for once, they're going to lay a blessing where it should go. Every time, Dios me bendiga, in Costa Rica it rains, it washes away their pain, they feel good around me because they have prayers for me, they heal me in their minds almost as much as I do, but they do truly love me. And I always feel the need to politely destroy the Bible in between us. La madre de mi madre once told me que había un padre who could heal me, that I should cry and plead with my mother to take me behind God's mountain in the middle of Costa Rica to see the father who could hide my sins from me better than she could. Well, I'm taller than my grandmother now, and she hasn't talked to me about God's miracle since my eyes shied away from looking up to her. I'm sure she still believes that somewhere in Costa Rica, God made a mountain of prayer beads. I'm sure her faith is still much taller than me, but it isn't there looming anymore. Gracias, abuelita, for taking care of my great-grandparents in their old age, raising my mother and aunt, sewing and cooking, and loving me enough to pinch my cheek and call me guapo. For hugging me, kissing me, por Dios, trembling, serving me steaming food, and swatting all the flies away. I look at the pictures of La Virgen and baby Jesus while I eat the pinto con huevos you cooked me, and I realize that you have led me by hand up a mountain. Stronger and older than God, your gaze stays straight ahead while my eyes go wild climbing, because no one who has loved me has ever lied to me like this before, a creation of the figments of your faith and sincerity in your prayer. The second bite of rice and beans reassures me. The heavy, que calor air, wooden table, plastic chairs filling me, pintado with pinto. You will never hear it from my lips, but it will seep through my prayers if I ever make one again. I love you. I don't understand your faith. I don't know how you slip those Bibles under my hands, but God isn't my answer. I know I'd rather read your story from your face.
So, now, 14 years old is old enough for her to call herself a woman. And now 14 years old is old enough to be a woman, because being young gets old fast, especially when you had a soul and you sold it fast. She sold her soul to satin soles and knee-high boots, as baby fat no longer frames her face that they called cute, now replaced with baby fat boots that leave her ankles twisted and her toes blistered. Feet ache like walking on sandpaper with every step she takes, but she doesn't care, 'cause it makes her feel like a woman. Now 14 years old is old enough for cold and rough hands to trace her spine and up her face unwind and find a place she never knew we existed until he kissed it. So now 14 years old is old enough for her to call herself a woman if she can love a man. And now 14 years old is old enough to be older if she wants someone to hold her, because 14 years old is just old enough but still young enough to mold her. And now 14 years old is old enough to be a woman if you can play a woman's game and feel a woman's shame, the pain of breaking and trying still to breathe, her sweaty skin sticking to his body and the child inside her wanting to believe if you close your eyes you are invisible. And maybe it's just another nightmare about monsters in your bed, and mommy can make everything better, but mommy is not here to save you now when you can't run away and your blistered feet are tired from trying. Bend her tender body, dying. 'Cause now 14 years old is old enough for cold and rough hands to hold her firm and tough. She yearns for love to mold her 'cause she's older, but enough's enough. Now 14 years old is old enough. Now 14 years old is old enough. Now 14 years old is not old enough. She sold her soul to satin souls like Latin soul singers sell out, like J-Lo. She's a sellout, only the pays low. She's a sellout, she's selling herself short and forever pays the cost. Hand to hand, hands him her innocence lost. She's lost in his cold, rough hands. Because now 14 years old is old enough to call herself a woman if she can love a man.
Cameron and I did guerrilla poetry with some You Speaks people and just got on BART trains and started screaming poetry. It was good. So. A huge glass dome, wooden perches like pews, books in a handy compartment in front of each seat. So much like my mom's old church she went to every week her freshman year in college. I'm in Sherith Israel, words I don't know how to spell or say with conviction. They bear no hope or assurance. They're letters as distant as that artificial glow weakly visible behind Mount Diablo on hot nights when the fog is sleeping and San Francisco is awake for once on a Saturday night. These songs hold no crevice in my family albums. There is no familiarity or comfort in this Hebrew that sounds like overchewed bubblegum. It is the Day of Atonement, and I am 11 years old. 11 years old, my first Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur, I will always mix them up. Always conveniently forget them and manage to brag about celebrating Hanukkah every year. I'm in a temple that seems very much like a church to me. Stained glass, unquestioned words and melodies, the sky inside is always the same. These people, my people, those people have found solace among the white faces and leather books. The blessed shoulders and brilliance of rusty crumbling scrolls saved by souls risking their death for their unknown children. It is my first Day of Atonement. The people sitting next to me have been in my bloodline for longer than I'll ever be able to think about. This is my first Day of Atonement, and I don't know where to begin to ask for forgiveness.
Every time I hear a poem, like, read by one of the people at Youth Speaks, it brings me, like, one step closer to the way that I was before a lot of stuff from the world got set in my brain, and it brings me one step closer to, like, opening my heart, and it's like rebuilding yourself to that place when you were born and you were completely like innocent and you were completely happy and excited about the world and just nothing could stop you. You fall down, you get right back up and you just go play again. It brings me back to that place.
My writing, and I mean it comes out as poetry, is the only thing that I can look at and say is 100% sincere from myself, and everything else that I've ever done has had a front to it in some way. And to be able to come to a place like Youth Speaks and see everyone share something of themselves that isn't a front is amazing. Youth Speaks is one of the few places that I want to go to after school or on a weekend or any time.
I think that there are some things that I've been through that poetry, spoken word, and Youth Speaks is helping me heal. But I feel like with knowledge, you know, and experience comes a responsibility to, you know, spread the word about it. And I feel like the stuff that I've been through, I feel like if I can go up and do a poem about it and somebody in that room is going through the same thing and they hear me, and they know they're not alone, or they feel like there's hope for them, then I've done my job if I can just give that impression to one person. Because I would never want people to go through the stuff that I've been through, and since I know that they do every day, then I'm accountable to go and talk about it. Because so much stuff, sexism, racism, all the isms, homophobia, is just so, you know, people don't want to talk about it. But by us going there and talking about it, it's real, and people need to face it. And we can even help save, I'm not going to say lives, but save souls in a way by talking about it.
Yeah, that in itself is, you know, the second reason why, right? Stepping off a stage and having somebody come up to you afterwards and be like, oh my God, you touched me. This is the greatest feeling in the world. Just to know that you, as one person, can be put in a position to help somebody profoundly, just to clear whatever is going on in their mind, because you yourself have been through it and have had, you know, been driven enough to put it down on paper.
Beyond it being like a personal healing almost process or therapeutic process, which it is for almost everyone I think involved, it's also communities like this one and organizations like Youth Speaks create like an open dialogue for young people to express themselves both to each other and to whoever can come in and hear us. And like, it makes us not only own our own emotions, but own these issues that are like world issues, but we can make them youth issues too.
I'm not completely convinced about the freedom that I have in my writing, even though Youth Speaks is incredible and they have no censorship whatsoever. I still feel like just being growing up in a culture, you act a certain way, and you start thinking in a certain way, and it sticks to you. But one of the things that I love the most about Youth Speaks is just the way that they make us think and the way they juxtapose different concepts and ask the right questions and just make things occur to me that I never would have seen before.
There's not just recently, but in our history, there's been this trend towards this like deeper kind of disregard for humanity and like the human condition. No one's willing to accept that we're all the same. That goes both politically and just like as far as individuals. Like I know people that can live down the block from someone and not see that their life is worth something. Like I know people that have shot people. There's no space almost within people and within our culture to accept other people as fully human. And I think that if we speak our truth, there has to be some acceptance that we're all human. You have to identify with people as part of yourself. And if you find yourself human, then you have to see that we're all connected in some way. So I think that we're kind of healing this condition, I guess.
I just wanted to say, I think like men's oppression and sexism, they go hand in hand. And I think there's a way that when the young men here get to go up and just express themselves, it's like one of the only places besides hip-hop, I think, and like the other arts where men can like, young men or at least can express themselves and still hold their power, hold their masculinity, but also hold all of the elements of who they are without people kind of judging them. And so I think that in a way, when like men get to do that, then there's more space too for women. You know, you can't just try to get rid of sexism, you have to get rid of men's oppression too.
That was Corina Pela. You're listening to a conversation among teenage poets, recorded at an informal meeting at the Space of Youth Speaks in the San Francisco Mission District in November 2004. Youth Speaks was founded in 1996 to provide a safe space for young people, regardless of background or academic standing, to write and to be heard. Here in conclusion are poems by Nina Reyes Rosenberg, 17, and Katri Foster, 18. First you hear from Mano Bogard Wado. She is 17.
All right, this is entitled Only Slave Self-Grave Dig. To the corporation we live in, a reflection of the human condition, for every commercial sell in a superficial ideal that the purchase of some useless material will make you feel blissful. To the bulimic, anorexic, those who don't know they're subconsciously always on a diet, who suppose that if they can fit this body mold of perfect, their suffering will quiet, but it is planted deep in our roots. To the talking box that never spoke any truth and continues to mock us as we stand thoughtless, aloof, and let brainwashed visions of Barbie doll proportions get bought and sold to the youth, because we tend to despise anything but blonde hair and blue eyes, for all the lies and illusions we give daily to our children like candy or vitamins. But this is poison, society's numbing medicine that succumbs us to an apathetic dumb so we don't begin a revolution. And how come not one of the many peace rallies where once I used to stand proudly ever made any significance and difference overseas, where how many families accidentally got bombed? Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and babies crying, dying, and it's all branded so calm under the simple title collateral damage. I give homage to these people of the earth who don't deserve such a fate, raped of their beautiful birth. Your story, representative of honestly a countless amount of such a numerous quantity, will be heard in America. The murderer, to no alarm, is cursed with bloody hands and awaits his karma in a repetitive economic parabola. For the very reason you must pick between a marionette and a puppet, both are not nor ever were authentic, the right or the left, Republican or Democratic, but what's the difference if neither listen when homeless children wish to own a home and for some money on their Christmas list, not for themselves but their parents, and this is strangely so profound and sacred, bound to make you feel foolish you wanted that Gucci designer purse, $1,500, for all the tax dollars which go to prisons instead of towards public education, for the gap within our system which causes the great divide of rich and poor, for materialism, because capitalism couldn't survive without a mass production demand for more, and of course for our democracy pretending to be so free because we live in a racist country and can never see any further than the matter of skin color, social stature, sexual orientation, and gender. For all who have ever been used, discriminated, persecuted, beat, or plundered, to the meat industry that abuses the creatures of nature, the inhumane slaughter that depletes the ecology of the rainforest, reaps us of our oldest, purest trees, have some decency, mercy, or maybe morality, please. And global warming, why isn't the hole in the ozone layer a great enough warning? Beautiful people, don't live with closed eyes. Open your minds wide, manifest in quest to your full potential. But because we are not more noble with our blessings, I am sorry. And there is no one able to take responsibility to make such an apology because it is we who are disrespectful. And yet I am torn in emotion, thankful that I was born and with all I've had in the past, my family, friends, and lover for opportunity, food, clothing, and shelter, the memories that last forever. And because of spiritual art and music, particularly hip-hop culture and, of course, poetry. Thankful for peaceful revolutionaries like Gandhi, Dylan, and Marley, and for those close to me who keep it true, I thank you.
They tiptoed in secrecy through spiral jungles and fire. She led him by the hand into landscapes made of magenta oil paint and matches. The palette knife that separates rich from wealthy leaves the profit-maximizing potential price of education, too. She bled for him. Her passion was like peppermint lotion on shaved legs, and he took it for what it was. Seashells, cheesecake, nail polish, hills. These are the things I'm going to miss. Backpacks, breaks. She filled notebooks with cartoon hearts and felt the world crashing around them for 4 more years. Values subsidized like firecrackers fizzling into San Francisco fog, unleashed from paint-peeling light green apartment buildings in Chinatown. Their love was combustible. She tried to explain too many things at one time, at a time when time seemed too cosmic. 4 years gone, 4 years come for years of us.
I used to think I'd never met my grandmother. I was told that Grandma Joan died before I was born, 100 days exactly before my grandfather. I have one picture of her in my room. In that picture, and in all her daughter's stories, she is beautiful. But there are no pretty words for what she was. Alcoholic. My aunts, Ellen and Susan, told me that she was so full of life. She was energetic and happy at her best. But being full of life and happiness shouldn't also mean that you are full of whiskey. And drunken laughter cannot be mistaken for anything actually being funny. I was told that my grandma Joan died before I was born. The day I learned that was the same day I learned that you could drink yourself to death. Back then, I imagined it an accident, a tragic mistake. I could picture a room flooded with vodka and her drowning in it, her body bloated with rum rolling and bouncing down the road like a half-filled water balloon. By now, I know better. As much as I wish it away, I imagine she died sloppy, loose, white skin. Smeared red makeup, more vomit than it seemed such a small woman could hold, and there were no pretty words for what she was full of. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter how long I stared at the picture in my room, heard her daughter's stories, or touched the fur collar of her little green wool coat, I could not imagine her beautiful. It's probably because she died, I was told, before I was born, and I never grew to know or love any part of her worth loving, and knowing only that a woman is dead and that they drank themselves that way is not enough to mold into grandmother. So, Grandma, if you can hear me, I guess I'm sorry for not having memories enough to build you into beautiful, for knowing only the worst of you. But Grandma, I do know you a little. Most of your grandchildren have your feet, and some of them, and many of your daughters have your addiction. You have strong genes, Grandma, and I love my aunts, but everything I hate about any of them seems to have come from you. And I'm tired of trying to pretend that all of them are so full of life at every family reunion. You should know well by now that whatever it is, it's not life, or at least it shouldn't be. Aunt Mary especially worries me. They say she looks just like you, and I fear she might soon join you. And my dad has only told me that you're dead, how you got that way, and that you sure would have liked me. And I don't want my kids to have only that left of their great aunt. So please, Grandma, for your children, for my memories, or at the very least, our family, please, Grandma, please do something. Do something so that I can convince myself of your beauty. Thank you.
Runs in the Family by Kautry Foster. That was the record of a visit to a meeting place of Youth Speaks in San Francisco. Youth Speaks invites teens ages 13 to 19 to participate in their workshops and performances. The only criterion for inclusion is a high level of commitment to poetry. You heard from 11 students who met with poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, radio artists Eric Bauersfeld and Jim McKee, and me as part of the research for a project with the San Francisco Creative Work Fund. Jim McKee did the recording. The full one-hour CD or tape of that visit includes several more poems that I was unable to present on this program because new Federal Communications Commission's rules threaten huge fines to stations for the use of even the most innocent so-called obscenities. The full uncensored record is available from TUC Radio to you and stations that want to defy the FCC. You can find out more about the work of Youth Speaks by checking their website at www.youthspeaks.org or on TUC Radio's website www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can get information how to order a copy of the complete, uncensored, one-hour recording of Youth Speaks by calling us. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations. Your tape or CD order is the only support we receive and helps us stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape or CD by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number 877-TUC-TAPE translates into 1-877-882-8273. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.